from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcasters that just wondered why they don't make mittens for feet and then quickly realized that they're, you know, that that's almost what socks are. You say to get a second pair of socks or thick socks. But you know what? What the feeling I'm going for this podcast is a feeling. If there was mittens for feet, it would be, the spirit of mittens, feet mittens, would be captured by this podcast, just like Charlie captured those kitten mittens. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if I could have your attention for a few minutes so we could talk about what makes tonight's episode of Sleep With Me possible. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to this show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, if the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, I do need, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place, more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now, if the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone, because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much.
And tonight's episode of Sleep With Me was also made possible with the hard work of Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who edited this episode, did the theme music, Carl W., who edits some episodes, Jonathan Mann, who's on our lullabies, Kenny Scotty, and Jennifer Honor Artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. You could listen to the show on the smart speaker, you know, just say, hey, smart speaker, play this Sleep With Me podcast on TuneIn, and then set a sleep timer if you wish, or play it all night. And listeners have their own Facebook group, and I want to thank the moderators over there. Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Keith, Julie, and Jennifer. And what do you say? We keep the show going. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings that are coming up, physical sensations, changes in routine or travel, work schedule, or stuff past, present, or future thoughts. Did I say that? Because that's definitely what does me to turn for the thingamajig. Hardens the old pillow, as we say around here. I mean, I've never said that till now, but it's time for sleep. Did I say it's time for sleep? How's the episode? All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, the rest of it. I'm going to do the rest of it. I'm going to do is create a safe place where I can set aside. Oh, I'm going to try to create a safe place to distract you from whatever's keeping you up. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders. I'll be distracted. I'll go off on goose chases, and my goose will not be gotten, because the phrase is getting the goat. Getting the goat sounds like you won something. I guess if somebody got your goat, as they said, if someone got my goose, I wouldn't be happy about it. But if let's come back to that. That's another, collection of words we could explore. But really, I'm here to be your friend, to keep you company. If you're new, to earn your trust, to say, what is this thing? Who is this strange person? And yeah, I'm here to play the role of your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar cuz, your boar sib, your partner in the deep, dark night, if you want to come up with something new, your boar partner. And what I propose to do, if you're new, here's a few things. I'm going to try to put you to sleep with lulling, soothing tones and pointless meanders in a bedtime story of bare coherence. Maybe. And you don't need to listen to it. You can only barely pay attention or kind of pay attention, or you can pay attention. I'll be here for the whole time. You're also under no pressure to fall asleep because the shows are about an hour, so you have plenty of time. And I'll be here talking and wondering and trying to remember what I was going to talk about. I don't know. I thought I said something. Did I say something about naked? I said naked something, but it was not a... Or I said bear something. But then I was thinking about getting a goat. Structurally, the show, if you're new, it starts off with about 4 minutes of business. That's how we keep the show free, is the sponsors and listener support. And then we have some business between the intro and the story. What was my other point? I already forgot. It's the intro and the story. Oh, so structurally, show, it starts off with a few minutes of business. Then there's an intro, which I'm in. That's about 12 to 14 minutes. It's a show within a show to get you ready for bed. You know, you could brush your teeth during it. You won't miss too much. Or you could start puffing the pillows, calling the pets in, or saying, hey, get out of my bed, pets. You could get comfortable. You could turn out the lights at that point if you've already used it. But some people turn out the lights and press play. I have been saying that for like 600 episodes, so it's kind of worn in. Even though every once in a while somebody email me and say, hey, shouldn't you press play and turn out the lights? I say, well, it's too late. That pathway is worn. You can't do anything about that. Yeah, but the intro is about 14 minutes of me demonstrating my qualifications for making a senseless sleep podcast. And to say, after two or three intros, you say, oh, okay, now I get it. Scoots has been there. Yeah, I've been there sleepless, tossing and turning ever since fifth grade. My thinker's been overdoing it, working overtime, of thinking of stuff and calculating stuff to just keep me up. I say, hey, why don't you think about this? Here's an unpleasant thought you could think about for the next few hours. And I say, thanks, I just want to go to bed. Well, how about this unpleasant memory? Oh, remember this in memory? Well, let's contrast it with, and I say, okay, well, I just want to go to bed, please. And the only thing that I found that helped me was Dr. Demento, the radio show, Weird Al, and a collection of comedy songs. Never put me to sleep, but it took my mind off of that rigmarole. So I'm here to take your mind off stuff, but then you say, well, this is not his, he's no Weird Al. He's got the weird part down, but he doesn't have a sense of the polka. Or any of that other stuff, or that beautiful hair, or those nice shirts, or all the other trappings of being Weird Al. So, yeah, you could say, well, I'm comfortable falling asleep, and I'd say I'm comfortable with that, too. So that's the intro, and then there's a bedtime story. Tonight will be kind of a trending bedtime story about skywriting, barely. But the skywriting doesn't happen until... I don't know when it happens. More me talking on a CB. So I'll be here. I'll be here for like an hour. And then the show ends with some thank you. So that's the structure show. Like I said, you don't really need to listen, but you can. Because if you can't sleep, I'm here till the very end to keep you company. But you say, when you think about storytelling, a lot of times people say that the antagonist is the hero of their own story. When you have a movie or a book or even a podcast, a lot of times the antagonist, they view themselves as the hero, their version of it. And a while ago, I did an opening intro about getting, if my goose got gotten, I didn't realize it was getting your goat. I thought it was getting your goose. And I said, please don't do that. Don't go out in the world and get people's gooses or goats now, I'll say, because it would be a bummer if you had a goose and it got gotten, or a goat, you'd say, man, you wouldn't even say that stinks. I'm sure you'd use much more colorful language. And you'd want your goose back. And I even used the thing, I said, some super rich person would even miss their goose or their geeses. But let's flip the script, as they say, and imagine a world where it's okay and someone has gotten a goat, a young person, maybe they're in middle school, and they get home and they say, just like a parallel world where kids win science fairs and art fairs and whatever the heck, sports stuff. They get more than the participation thing. They say, this one's for you're a go-getter, chasing that ball around and catching that stuff. Oof, you're like, when kids get home from that kind of stuff and they say, look here, hey, third place in the art fair. And you always say, first place in my heart. That's the right thing to say, by the way, or some sort of version of that. Keep your art opinions for the internet or whatever. But let's pretend we live in a world where we're raising our children to go get other people's goats. Just pretend. It's a thought experiment. And this child comes home and they've gotten someone's goat or a goose. If you prefer, you got their goose or you got their goat. And imagine the joy of the child coming in. They say, Mama, Papa, I've gotten the goat. Doesn't it feel good? Isn't that empowering? In a reverse world, obviously, you say, okay, well, you shouldn't be going out. In our world, you say, don't go out there and get anybody's goat or goose. Metaphorically, figuratively, or definitely not literally. In this world, it's a different value system, and everyone would say, yip, 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 yippee, you've gotten a goat. Congrats, Junior. What a lass you are. You've gotten a goat. Great job. And everyone maybe would dance around, and they say, maybe sing a song or chant, you've gotten a goat. So something to that, like the chorus would be, maybe, yeah, something where you shake your hips, like a conga line about getting the goat. I mean, even the goat would be in the conga line. And in this world, it's even more special because then the goat probably gets to live in luxury. So they all carry it up to the master bedroom, which is reserved just for when the goat is gotten. And maybe it's good luck or something. Like people out there in the alternative world, they say, my goat got gotten. I don't know where the heck it went. I just am like a frowny face emoji. And if they only knew that in this world, the gotten goat is, in bed, they say, in this world, we have 400 channels of goat-based entertainment. Directed programming for goats, by goats, about goats, and even a couple zygotes, if you don't mind me throwing in, and then unfunny comedy channel, that'll get your goats. A game show, goat game shows, and anything else the goats are into. They might say, "Well, actually, I like Star Trek." But we got four different channels of Star Trek, my dear goats. Can I wax your horns or oil? Would you prefer me to wax your horns or oil them? Well, you only have nubs. Same thing. I'd be more than pleased. We have Furminators for dogs, and we have actually here in our house, we think you'd like to be rubbed with a Brillo pad because you're so Brillo-y. Oh, my sweet, sweet goat. So glad we've gotten you. And we're going to massage your hooves because we know you've been, hoving around. We're going to rub your cloven feet with cloves. If you have cloven feet, to say, well, that's the difference between a goat and a ram, by the way, Scoots. And I'd say, well, la-di-da. You got my goats. So that would be wonderful. And you'd see, you'd be filled. That kid would be, I think it's imbuient or whatever. I don't know what the word is, but when you feel buoyed, you feel good inside. You see, I got the goat. And now my under our eaves is now a goat. We're going to give it a good home. And it's going to live in luxury for the rest of its days. Yes, somewhere out there. We're worthy antagonists in the other world. Somebody's saying our goat got gotten. And you probably have a painting. You'd probably have another room, like with paintings of that family that did such a great job raising the goats. You know, you'd leave things for them, like light candles and leave little treats for each member of the family for doing such a good job, you know, raising the goat so it could be to the point where it got and brought into your world. And, living the good life, the goat, living large, living goat full life, goat gotten and fancy free, as no one's ever said either. So what was my point? Oh, my point is I tend to go on tangents and I try to distract you, just like, it may take some trust building to get a goat, and then to get the gotten goat to accept a new life of, they say, well, we're going to buff, I'm going to buff your hooves now, goaty poo. The goat at first might be like, what in the heck? And you might say, well, just watch the tube. We got plenty of, you heard of Caesar Milan? Yeah, we got Caesar Milan and a herd of goats walking around together. Goat pack, they call it. And actually, it's called Goat Pack Milan in Milan. With the goat pack, walking around Milan. It's great. Just watch it. And I'll be here. And that would take the goat to say, yeah, it's a little strange to live in a world where I'm treated like a queen or a king. But I guess I'm distracted by this TV show with a goat pack in Milan. And I'll get used to this. Maybe the goat would fall asleep watching that show. Maybe not. I don't know how action-packed it would be. I don't know what they would do. Would they go shopping? I don't know. In this alternative goat world, the goats still have the reputation of like eating tin cans and stuff like that. I don't know. I guess I'll have to talk to the program director. But here's what I'll say to you, human. Did I take your mind off stuff? Did I distract you for a little bit? I hope I did. I make this show because I believe you deserve a good night's sleep. I can't talk clearly or think clearly. What I can do is be here. Because, as I've said, I've been there. And I'd like to bring a little levity to bedtime. If there's a goat keeping you awake, I'd like to get that goat and get us distracted and say, hey, well, look at me. It's a goat game show, the goat game show channel, the GGC or whatever channel, I don't know what we'll call it. My main message is I'm glad you're here and give the show a few tries. It takes a few tries for most people to see, realize that there's no making sense any of this, but it's just here to help. It's not here, I'm not here to force anything on you or whatever. So give it a few tries and see if it helps. I work very hard and I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. So I want to thank you for coming by. And before we get on with the show, here's, how we keep the show going.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, everybody, it's Scoots here. It's time for a trending episode. It's actually a trending Tuesday episode for me. I'm recording it on a Tuesday. And you know what's in the trends internally is that recently, I know I did an intro about a skywriter. And I totally, like I said, I'm going to write a book about that. And then I forgot, of course, the book title. I filed it away in book titles I'll never remember. Which is like one of many Jeopardy categories about me, because, that's what I'm about, is my ego's running the show. I'll take things I'm worried about for 500. Books I've never written truly don't attend to. I'm going to have to take a quibble. Alec, where do I take a quibble with, taking a quibble up with Alec for 500, Alec? What is Alex? Was that a Daily Double? Thanks. What other Jeopardy categories would there be about me? I think that would be that was actually a category. I'll take that for 300, Alex. Other Jeopardy categories about me? Mostly they're like things I'm worried about, regrets. Did you hear that episode, Alex? I know I know it, but I don't know it. I don't know why I can't remember it. Mostly because I would be embarrassed to call you Alex Trebek when it's Alec. So I just hedging my bets in case I'm on a show with categories about me. But yeah, one category would be books. What about release years for Gingerbread Press books I haven't written? That would be a category I could agree with you on. Monsieur Trebek. Yeah, like I could agree in that. I'd say 2026 would be the year I love to love plants. Year of plants and plant-based embrace. You know, what is? I'm sorry, I forgot what is. So I dropped the ball on that one. Anyway, I got to get out of here because I'm in the middle of a podcast intro, a podcast episode. Just has begun. Trending Twitter Tuesday episode, Alex. What is this moment right now? Exactly. 500. I don't know. There was one about the game with Chutes and Ladders, but I can't remember what it was called. I've never done an episode. You appear in a lot of episodes, but I've never done an episode about Jeopardy. But I am in a bit of Jeopardy, because of that word. Have you listened to Weird Al's Hamilton thing? Because you wrote a song about you way back in the day. Okay, I'll get back to you. I don't think I'll be getting back to you, but I got to go. Oh, boy. You might as well put him in the OBE or whatever. Put a crown on his head because... Anyway, so I'm back. Sorry about that. A little appearance on Jeopardy. But recently I talked about a skywriter. I don't think it was called The Lonely Skywriter because that's not enough. Sometimes they say when you put, watch what you, I think my nana used to say this, watch what you put in the universe. Don't put too much of that in the universe. She might have been talking about soda in my glass, she might have been putting universal energy into the universe too. And I said, yeah, nana, I'm putting soda-based energy in the universe. But then, so this is kind of a Travel Tuesday, Trending Tuesday episode, because I was out walking, as so many of my episodes start. And I was walking on the waterfront, I was strolling with purpose. I stroll with purpose, even though I don't have a purpose, believe it or not, even if I didn't know I was going. And then I heard somebody calling to me, hey, hey. And I said, that's the least effective way to get my attention. I mean, I'll know you're there. And I said, just keep your eyes straight ahead, Scoots. Nothing good ever came out of hay. You never had any rolls in the hay. And you've never made hay while the sun is shining. And so the only thing you could do is eat hay like a horse. So just keep moving like a horse. You keep trotting. But then they said, hey, podcaster. And I couldn't help it because it's so rare. I shot my head in that direction. And I saw what could only be described as a woman having a picnic, except that she also had aviator glasses on, a white scarf, a silk scarf, as I would later learn. and that kind of thing, like a leather a pilot's cap, or I don't know what you call it, with the sunglasses that come down, or the goggles, I guess flight goggles is what they're technically called. And a flight suit matching the scarf, which could also, I said later, those could double as pajamas. I said, yeah, if I didn't have my clothes on underneath. And I said, oh boy, we'll slow it down here. But I was just kidding anyway. But they could have, I guess this zipper, like this is a tangent, but has any pajamas, I guess, yeah, those kids' pajamas have zippers. And I know there's grown-up onesies nowadays, so those have zippers, too. They do have the zipper thing where it folds down, and then you put the little button thing over the zipper. So, one, it doesn't unzip, and two, you don't poke anything with the zipper thingamajig. Anyway, so this was a woman having a picnic, ostensibly dressed as a pilot. And I said, are you talking, you know, I did the old, do you mean me? And she said, yeah, podcaster, get over here. And I said, what podcaster perchance do you think I am? And she said, you're the dull one. We need to talk. And I said, would a Carole King send you? And she gave me a knowing smile. And I said, okay. And she had a picnic, and she said, I figured I'd introduce myself with a picnic and break the ice, literally. And then she started breaking up ice into two glasses, had some bubbly water. That was a good move for a picnic, I guess, because then the water was ice cold. And she had one of my favorite dishes for picnics, fried chicken with hot sauce that you could put on it, cold. And brie and baguettes. And so my guard was down right away. Even my hay guard was down, clearly, because I sat down on this blanket. And we started, she said, let's eat first and then we'll talk. And I said, well, I'm good at eating, not good at talking. I'm good at rambling, but not conversation anyway. So, yeah, I said, well, why don't we, I said, it'd be great if you could explain to me why you called me, like, what's happening here while I eat, and you could eat in between, you know, in between bites. That way I have the food to deflect my uncomfortableness, and then we'll establish some rapport, and then we'll move on. And she said, fair enough. And they said, are you going to, like, how do you eat with a flight suit on? I said, how are you going to keep that? And then the breeze picked up and flapped her scarf behind her. And I said, well, that's eerie a little bit. And she said, I'd rather just eat as well. And I said, okay, well, okay, there goes my big plans. And so we ate in mostly silence until I said, okay, Scooch, come on. You've been working on your people skills. And I said, Do you listen to the podcast? And she held up her hand like that was a question not to be answered. And I said, because I had this episode recently where I was talking about sipping broth. It's a new invention. Well, it's actually just a repurposing of broth or bouillon, whatever the other one's called, stock. And I guess it would be better as like a pop-up restaurant. Hopefully, if somebody steals the idea, they at least give me a complimentary visit for four cents of broth. It's where you go and you sit and you sip broth. Or, you know, you could buy it and then heat it up and sip it. A bit like tea, but not as a soup. Like I said, I think I was thinking instead of cocktail hour, you'd have broth time. Yeah. Yeah, that was one of my ideas. Well, what is that? Well, I was just wondering if we're going to have dessert, because they also had an episode, and I was watching her body language the whole time to see if she was a listener or not. Yeah, I'll be honest, most listeners sleep through the show, but even then, something about her body language told me that she didn't, like, even get that broth talk would be something that would come. I said, oh, yeah, because I said broth talk, the podcast about broth and things interesting to brothers. And she didn't get that. It was a veiled reference to, you know, podcast about podcasting or screenwriting and things interesting to screenwriters. So I said, okay. And I said, do you know what my favorite broth to sip is? It's pho or pho or whatever. And she didn't say anything. So I said, okay, well, then I started talking about dessert. Sorry, I got mixed up about this is what happened there too. But I said, I think I was thinking about a cooking show where kids cook in the back of a car. I think it was called Country Cooking. But I thought I had thought of a dessert show too. But I can't remember it right now. But I did think of it like the show. They just instead, I guess they could take one of those kids cooking shows and just take it on the road, and they make the kids cook. Oh, and then one of my parts of my brain said, bad idea. So I didn't do that. So that was never a show. But I thought I had some other ideas. So is there any dessert? And she said, yeah, we have ding dongs. And I said, holy moly. I said, one pack to split one each. She said, correct. And I said, fair enough, fair enough. And we sat and we ate the ding-dongs. And she said, I am here about a podcast intro. I know you were talking about skywriters recently. And I happen to be a skywriter. And I said, oh, boy, synchronicity is more than the title of a police album. And she said, yeah, she goes, I can't talk about how I got here, how I found you. I said, probably my phone, right? You just probably, he said, they tracks me every, you know. And she said, yeah, more or less. I said, Carole King in my phone. And she said, you know, don't worry about who my, and I said, okay, well, let's get to the gusto then. Now, because I'm hopped up on a little sugar from this ding-dong and a tiny bit of caffeine and the chocolate. I said, tell me more. You're a skywriter. And she goes, and I'm a bit down. And I said, I can't even think of the last time I saw any skywriting. And she said, exactly. And I said, I can remember once upon a time, every 4 or 5 years, seeing skywriting, at least for a few minutes. No more. And she said, yeah. She goes, the skywriting business has been down for decades. And then I kind of stopped listening because there was these seagulls. And I said, they better not come bug me. So I was watching them. But I'm pretty sure if I could recount what she said, you know, my mother was a skywriter. My father was a copywriter. Or maybe something was a typewriter. I don't know. But you know, some sort of family history, why she's dedicated to skywriting. And I said, oh, that's great. I said, can we move to like another? I said, while you're telling me this, because there's those seagulls over there. I worry about them. I don't have like a flight cap. And she said, no, I need help. I'm a lonely skywriter. I'm a skywriter with nothing to write. And something about that, and maybe it was that there was a seagull call right at the beginning and right at the end. And she said, I'm a skywriter with nothing to write. And it was, I don't know if it was heart-wrenching. It was heart awakening, to be honest. I said, okay, well, there's a call to adventure. I don't need Joseph Campbell to freaking tell me that one. And I said, I could give you something to write. But then she kind of went into the economics of it. And I said, oh, boy. And I said, here's a question. Why only do you use white smoke? How come? I said, there was your biggest mistake is not whatever they call that when you you keep improving. And she was going to interrupt me. I lifted. I said, okay, let me just go on my tirade and I get it off my chest. I said, one, we should have had multicolor skywriting years ago. Two, if it exists, I don't know about it. Yeah, just because I'm a little, I said, then you could have put sparkles in there. Then you could have put fireworks in there. Or at least like sparklers or sparkly stuff. I said, three, I realize there's some sort of regulations or something. He said, but I don't, I'm here to help. I don't need the whole history of skywriting. And I said, one more thing. The last few times I have seen skywriting, it is S-T-I-N-K, stunk, with a U. Because it's like something letting out little dots instead of a constant stream. And you know, like, oh, say, let the wind do the work for the letters. Wrong. To me, skywriting is a biplane, or at least some kind of thing. I said, what was up with the, I said, that was the, I said that, and she told me the greatest tale of is skywriting. You know, she talked about regulation. I was still fixated in the seagulls, so I may have filled in some fiction here. But she said, yeah, that was a, it was a, you know, fix to ruin skywriting. Her father, like, was that the typewriter or the copywriter? You know, with some rivalry, bought up all skywriting. You know, kind of like it was the same. I think this comes up every, like, 80 episodes. Like, the plot of Roger Rabbit, but with skywriting. Which I think it was so basically, in cover your ears, if you're a part of any oligarchy or whatever, or if you're an aristocrat, like the billboard barons, they bought up all the skywriting, and they were in cahoots with that, those blimps, because you say, hey, what happened to all the flying of the signs? That barely ever happens anymore. Nothing. I need more advertising when I'm outside. Like in a park, and especially a slow developing one. So that's what happened with that, is that if they did that, then they said, okay, we're going to relaunch the skywriting. This was like 2013 or something, with a dot skywriting, which if you've seen it, which you probably have, because it's the only, unless you live in some sort of area with a bespoke skywriter, you know, you've seen it. It's just like a jet flies, and it does the top of all the letters, like, no, and I said, when did they throw out cursive? That's another big mistake. And I said, as soon as they lost the romance of skywriting, and she said, well, this is all where I need your help. And I guess that's when I should have been paying more attention, but I knew this was more of a, like a spiritual quest anyway, because Carole King was involved. But she wasn't involved on my end, which meant I was on my own. So I probably should have been listening, but basically that skywriting was, the people said skywriting over it. And I said, wait a second. I said, you said, hey, podcaster. And now I'm seeing the parallels of podcasting and skywriting. And I said, it's not as big a leap as you might think. One is like, more or less direct. I said, it's strange that skywriting is kind of a direct form of communication. Or I thought there was a parallel in there. The parallel between skywriting and podcasting is that, like a lot of millennials and younger people haven't been exposed, like just like long form audio, the radio kind of became just like the same 40 or 50 songs. And people hadn't been exposed unless they really dug deep to all these talking people on the radio. People haven't seen writing in the sky. And, you know, even Rihanna knew to, like, diamonds in the sky. She once sang. I said, I said, we're going to return. I said, we're going to fix this whole thing. And she said, well, she said, you know what, I got it. Thanks for lunch. I got it. And I said, no. My talking always undoes my authority. He said, don't worry. I'm already coming up with a plan. And she said, what is your plan? And I said, well, it's a slow device. I said, first of all, we got to find some multicolored smoke. And she said, well, there's a regulation. And I said, okay, hold on with the regulation stuff. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, I just came up with another plan while I was going to tell you my plan. So now we have a two-layered plan. And she said, what is it? And I said, he said, we need some sort of rebel, not you, that we could loop into this. And she said, I'm a rebel. She said, look at me. And I said, yeah, you do have a bit of Amelia in you. And I said, you're very poised, if you don't mind me saying so. And anyone that would go to a picnic in a flight suit is, I guess that is rebellious in some way. And she said, what are you thinking? I said, well, here's the thing. In order to save skywriting, just like in all of these tales, so many times, so well worn the path, you have to be prepared to say goodbye to skywriting forever. Just, you know, if they make a movie, it's going to happen too. I said, but first you'll give up your, you know, what brought you happiness in your regular life for skywriting. Then skywriting will be your only thing. And then, you know, in order to save it, you'll have to give it up. I think that's how it works. But I said, are you willing to do that? And she said, no, you still have to establish some more authority before. I said, okay, fair enough. I said, let's get to the airport or airfield. And she said, well, we're not ready to fly yet. And I said, okay, I got a great idea. And she said, what? And I said, today is, I think there's a big, there's this big pitch day. I said, not too far away. It's a big university. Big U, as you know, they call it, not here, but at Cal Berkeley. There's a big pitch day for grants. I read about it in the paper. And she says, what's a paper? And then we both had a laugh. I said, it'd be great if you had like a, you know, one of those boat planes and we could, because they said we were in San Francisco on Marina Green. And I said, it'd be great because we could just, it would take us like literally 5 minutes to get to Berkeley, where now it's going to take forever. And she said, I'll drive while you fill me in on the plane. I said, no, I said, my style of planning is more show up and solve everything. And she said, actually, I do have a plane and it is parked nearby. And I said, let's do it. And then this was my first ride in one of those boat planes, or a pontoon plane. And I said, how come you don't name this thing like a boat? I said, this pontoon plane. And then she kept telling me the correct name, and you know, marine aircraft. Or so I said, boring. I said, is this the same model that Indiana Jones got picked up in? Because it doesn't look the same. Hers was red. And she said, well, what would you call it? And I said, my first thing would be to call it Red Baron. But I said, you have to work some sort of aqua thing in there. So I don't know. Maybe I said not Aqua Velva, because if it was blue, I'd call it Aqua Velva. I don't know. That doesn't really make you fly either. I don't know. Red pontoon, not good. And we got out, and she actually had to drive it as a boat, so we couldn't get in the air because some, she called, I don't know, 4141, breaker, breaker. And I said, can you get all the other CB channels in there? And she said, yeah. And I said, so not the FFA, you know, not the ones that are going to, she said, yeah, go down to this level. And I said, great. I said, this will save us some time. And I said, breaker, breaker, this is Red Baron here calling any lonely truckers out there in the middle of a drive looking to stretch their legs, looking to help someone rekindle their dreams. And at the same time, you know, say goodbye to their dreams probably. And they, like, no one, of course, said it, really came back. And then I said, breaker, breaker, 1-5, quit picking your nose out there, truckers. Get your fingers out of your noses. Two hands on the wheel, 10-2. This is Red Baron, and I'm watching out for you. You know, keep it driving through the night. Big wheels keep on turning. I'll check in soon. And then she said, what are you doing? I said, well, we're going to need some help here. And none of the truckers seem, I said, we're not really in a good, you know, place where there's like a down home truckers willing to help somebody down on their luck. And she said, I need to know more of your plan. And I said, here's the plan. Here's what you need to worry about. I said, first of all, parking this boat plane. And she said, don't worry. I got at the Berkeley Marina, I got a spot to park. And she goes, that's where my car's parked anyway. And I said, you have two cars, two plane spots. I said, not being a skywriter. And she said, well, my dad was, a copywriter. So she goes, I'm living off his savings right now. And that's part of why my heart needs to soar. And I said, okay, well, we're on this. Don't worry. Don't you worry one bit. And she parked the plane, old Red Baron, in a spot, whatever those are called. I think they're not locks, but they're called, I think it's called a slip. We slipped right in there. And she said, what's the plan? And I said, here's the plan. He said, I just looked at my phone and the pitch thing is until tomorrow, which is even better. And I said, you need to come up with a flight plan to be able to fly over the campus of Cal Berkeley tomorrow. And he said, anytime between 10 and 2 p.m. And she said, what are we going to do? And I said, we're going to save skywriting as we know it. And we're going to reinvigorate or, get you forever banned from skywriting or, change the world. We're going to enact my plan. And she said, it would help if I knew more about it. I said, here's the thing. I need you to run off to Safeway. And or an art supply store and get some kind of food coloring so you can color the smoke. And she goes, that's not how it works, but actually I have a warehouse in my house. So let's go there. And I said, I got to stay here. I need to use the CB all night. I got to keep an all night watch for truckers and people on the long haul. And she said, what do we need truckers for to save skywriting? And I said, I'll figure it out. This is the tools that whatever Carole King or whatever spiritual forces united us. I'm here to help you save skywriting. You go figure out what colors, you choose the colors of the smoke. Yeah, definitely put some whatever those things are called, some glitter in there. Maybe not, because then it'll fall and people will complain. But I said, just do your best. I'll be here talking to truckers. And she headed off. And I realized how impolite I had been. I hadn't even introduced myself. I guess when you're questing, and you might be listening and saying, Scoots doesn't know. And believe it or not, I actually have a plan. Yeah, but I guess I got distracted by the CB. Or the whatever radio, now set to CB mode. So I hop back on the CB, and I said, breaker, 1-5, this is Red Baron here. Keeping your feet warm throughout the night. I'm going to be running my gums on this channel all night long. It'll be easy listening all night here. Breaker 1-5. I think I was supposed to say because it's channel 15. And then someone said, Heaven's to Murgatroyd, but not in that, in a much saltier language. And I said, okay, now I'm definitely saying, and they said, okay, break, great news here. I just got a request in from Murgatroyd, Heaven's to Murgatroyd, for me to ramble. And I got a request going out to a request to actually everybody here on channel 15. I want to paint you a picture. Breaker, over. And then the one person, they said a couple more things. That only encourages me, though. And I said, thanks for the encouragement, everybody out there. I never got so many messages back. And I said, I was making stuff up between you and me just to mess with the other one person on there. And I said, Big Harry, thanks for letting me know. I'm going to tell you this story now tonight. Jane, Alice, thanks for getting back to me. Oh, boy, I'm glad your feet are warm. And this story is going to warm it even more. Carl, yeah, I'm here. Thanks for the support. Lewis and Lorraine, glad that the two of you are sharing a cab this evening, and you're going to be sharing a story with me soon. Over. And the same person came back, but then other people said. There was some chatter, and I said, "Breaking in on the chatter." It's the Red Baron. And I want to tell you a story. I want those of you I know that out there on the highways and the byways of the world, behind the big rigs and the little rigs, and maybe even in your garage, listening in at home, you know, wherever the roads may take you, you may remember a time, or you may have heard about a time when once there was writers in our sky. Maybe you have that one pure memory where the summer breeze was warm, the cola was sweet on your tongue, the ice cream was in your hand, and there in the sky was a buzzing, raising and lowering in pitch against the blue and the occasional cloud was a plane, and then out of the black back of the plane came a jet of smoke. And you said to yourself, holy mackerel. And maybe the plane started with a couple test letters. But soon it became clear the plane was writing a message. And depending on the wind and depending on how good the skywriter was and where you had to be, you may have saw if it was a happy birthday message or if it was a shop at Big Al's Market message. But it had you anticipating. It had you watching. And one day, that all disappeared. And as you behind the big rigs of the world know, the world isn't as simple as the circles of a wheel, of the highways and the byways, of good folks patting one another on the back and saying, keep it up, keep that big wheel a-turning. Those of you out there know about restrooms that are out of order, metaphorically, in this case, but maybe not even, because I'm wondering, I'm sitting here in my own borrowed big rig right now, wondering where I'm going to have a step and take a deep breath, if you know what I'm saying. But once upon a time, there was writing in the sky. And between those good old days and now, the only good thing that's happened to the sky has been Rihanna. And that was just in our ears. It didn't touch our eyes. But maybe one day, there will be someone, you could listen to Diamonds in the Sky while someone doesn't write in the sky, you know, they sculpt in the sky, or they calligraphize the sky. And I know this only works in movies, Breaker, if you can help, if you could spread the word. You know, this is going to be free tomorrow in Berkeley, California. Yeah, there's going to be writing in the sky. And if you go to, Bowery Hall at 1 p.m. and cheer outside and chant what you see and let it affect you, let the nostalgia impact you and the sky writing impact you. That'll be a big yes, a big vote for yes for dreams. Breaker, out. And then, yeah, then some people started chattering, and there was some talk about skywriting. The person, the complaining person, was still trying to complain, but they're drowned out. And then there's some confusion over what I was talking about. So then I went back on and tried to re-explain it 5 different ways. And I said, basically, if you love skywriting, let somebody know or be there yourself at Berkeley's campus, especially in your big rigs, and feel free to park wherever. And, but, you know, make sure you're there, whatever, wherever Bowery Hall. The big pitch, I forgot. I didn't have to tell them that. That was just part of it. And then I fell asleep in the cab of the plane. And there was plenty of blankets in there. So I know my friend, she had slept there before. And then the next day she came and she brought coffee. And she said, you slept here, eh? Like, and I said, yeah, I did. And I said, how? And she said, I've been up all night. I said, me too. Except for the parts where you found me when I was asleep, that part I was asleep for. And she said, how'd it go last night? And I said, we'll see. I said, we'll see if anybody believes in dreams anymore. But if anybody does, it's truckers or, you know, people, amateur CB people. I don't know what kind of, I said, maybe somehow that leaked out. I said, I called some of my friends and they taped it and put it on the internet. So hopefully that happened too. I believe Cher once said, you know, if you believe in skywriting and love, you'll fill the sky with sky. This is what you're going to do. Then I tried to inspire her, you know, with words so bright. I really don't think, you know, your writing could ever not be good enough. Because I believe in writing in the sky. And she kind of looked at me dumbfounded. And I said, by the way, I'm Scoots. I never caught your name. And she said, it was Hannah. And I said, but you like to go by A.E., don't you? And I, because I saw like a monogrammed initials on a leather case. But I didn't say that. And she said, you're wise. And she said, so what's the plan? I said, well, you get up in the night. I said, at 10 o'clock, I said, you get up there in the sky and start writing. And she said, writing what? And I said, well, I've written down some words for you to write. But I said, my handwriting, I said, you could always text me too. And she said, what's the plan? I said, the plan is to make skywriting for you sustainable. And to reawaken the world's love in skywriting. And I said, that's been the plan all along, hasn't it? And she said, it is. I said, well, take your, I said, what colors of skywriting do you have? And she said, just you wait. And I said, well, I said, actually, I won't be, I'll be in, I said, I'm going to have to, I said, okay, I guess I'll wait. So she headed, she started, you know, just spinning the propeller or whatever. And I took her car, I headed to campus, and then on the way to campus, luckily there's this costume store, underground, down an alley, costume store, where they know me for my other adventures. And they, like, it was just sometimes if I have paid off my bills, they like me. So they showed up, I said, I need a Music Man costume stat, and they said, Dick Van Dyke, Music Man. And I said, I don't know. Was that who played them? Yeah, but the Music Man rhymes with pool. And a cane, one of those canes. I may be doing some tap dancing. So maybe put some tap dancing shoes together. And they said, okay. And they said, you know, you got to sign the waiver that says you didn't rent this from us. And because the last few times that they, I said, yeah, give me unmarked costume, but for sure, untraceable costumes. That's the only thing I wear. And I was costumed as a Music Man, which I didn't know. I said, oh, that needs a reboot to be, but it's just a snazzy outfit. It wasn't actually going as a music person. The Music Man, but I liked that whole get up and gave me some confidence. And I drove into Berkeley and there was this big pitch fest going on for grants, particularly just all sorts of grants and those other things, like to do the things when you're a school, like paid theses. And all, I don't know, all sorts of different things. And so I tap my cane, you know, I got on the, it always has a stage that's not usually used except for to start your granting and whatever, granting of grants. And I tap my cane and stood on the stage and waited for attention. I crossed my fingers that the truck drivers everywhere were gathered around the Berkeley campus. They started swinging my cane. You know, people, when they see that kind of thing, they wonder, okay, is that just a person, is that someone I should be making eye contact with or avoiding eye contact with? Or is it some sort of performer? Or is it someone that desperately desires attention and, via sleep podcast? And so I waited and waited for the anticipation to build a little bit, and then I made sure the mic was on, and I tapped my cane again, and I point, and I flipped my cane around, and I pointed to the sky, which was the ceiling of this big, giant room, like kind of like a gymnasium, but it was called a hall. And I said, look at the sky, so empty, without a message, without a meaning, without, anything but, you know, nature's bounty of clouds and weather. The sky has not always been empty, though. And those of you among us that are the most curious, and then I heard somebody, this woman in a very truckery voice say, sky riding. And I said, that's right. There's something that's been missing from the sky. Riding in the sky. And many of you might be too young to remember the days when it wasn't the Greek or Roman gods that were riding in the sky, and it wasn't your imagination projecting onto the clouds, but there would be a plane across the sky sending a message about a quinceañera or a car sale. Or some other thing, like Happy 4th of July, maybe. And then the world changed, and big business got bigger, and our hearts got a little bit smaller. And the sky remained empty, except for occasional things. You said, that's not as good as the nostalgia in my heart. Well, I'm here to tell all of you, some of the brightest and most intelligent people in this room, that I'm here with a proposal, with a question, with an inquiry into the human condition, in a search for answers of affect and effect, of cause, of pebbles in the water with the ripples slowly floating away. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here granting grants for those kind of things, but in my dreams there are. And you might say, what's this? Sometimes I can actually hold a room. And then, during this time, more and more truckers did start showing up and yelling, encouraging words. So, anybody that's not a fan of truckers, you can take that into your trucker cap and smoke it. And they're mostly yelling stuff about the sky and writing. And I said, I was thinking of a question one time that a student or a theologian or a philosopher might pose, that they might put it into a grant and package it up and find actionable items or whatever it is you look for, deliverables, impacts, and things you could quantify. Because we all know, while you could quantify the number of heartbeats in a minute, you can't quantify the beating of a heart. While you could theorize on the weight of a cloud, you can't weigh dreams. And then some trucker said, get on to it. And I said, yeah, you're right, you're right. And I said, what if one of these people working on their thesis, one of these people thinking about a broad university study, have you ever asked yourself what would happen to a community if wonderful words appeared in the sky? What would that happen? And then someone said, what would happen? I said, you're right. What would happen? Would that be quantifiable if it said something? And then the truckers, you know, then it was timing was perfect. It ran outside and people started running outside. And then it said, the first one said, do you believe in love? And it was in purple. And it was a question mark. It was written in kind of half cursive, half print. It took about 18 minutes to put that in the sky. And then that dissipated. And then the next one said, good job. And I said, I'm wondering, Burke, maybe we should have tested this out somewhere other than Berkeley. Because they said, maybe there's like a 50-50 split on the impact. And I said, that's still quantifiable, though. I was talking out loud because all the, and I said, here's the thing. Who is that person writing in the sky? Who is she? Her name is A.E., A.E. Skywriting. You could probably find her. I don't know if there's a skywriting forum. And, you know, people were cheering. And they said, you know, it'd be the community you want to see. I don't know, she started winging it, writing stuff, it's not easy being green. That was another one. That was in green. I liked that one. And then she underlined it. And, eventually, everybody dissipated. And I headed back down to the marina. And she returned, flush with skywriting. A thin layer of sweat on her skin from being in the sky, from writing, from concentrating. And she said, my voicemail is she goes, 86 voicemail messages. I said, how many are from the FAA or the other one, the FTC or whatever the heck? She said 12. So 18 are from truckers checking my status, and she said the rest of them are from researchers wondering, and a couple podcasters that don't do sleep podcasts. And I said, well, there you go. And she said, and then there's more requests for, birthday parties and stuff like that. She said it's cost prohibitive is the thing. And I said, not if we get the right grant. And I said, well, you're on your path. You're on your way. And I said, I got to be on my way. But I said, she said, of course, there's a chance of me letting you sit in the seat, the co-pilot seat while you skywrite. And I said, exactly. That's what I was hoping for. And she said, what should we write? And I said, East Bay, you got to write Hella. I think that's pretty much what I said, even though it's 6 years old too, I said, I think that's what you got to write. And, she did that. And then she listed, Oakland, Berkeley, Emeryville. It was cool. And then she just started doing curly cues. Then they said, hey, you got to get it. Your flight plan's, no longer valid. And we landed, and she said, I want you to take the CB. And I said, you can't take the CB from your plane. And she said, well, she goes, one of the grants already went through. She goes, I'm getting a new plane. She said, some tech company, one of those tech billionaires already set it up. And I said, wow, holy, wow, wow, woo. And so we parted ways. And then, you know, every few nights I would get on that CB and the Red Baron would take to the airwaves, channel 15, maybe, I don't know what channel it was. And it'd be breaking out there. To all the truckers, to all my good buddies, now I could say breaker, good buddy. This is Red Baron thanking you for saving skywriting and for keeping someone's dreams going. Good night. I want to thank everybody who supported this show on Patreon. Lee, Rebecca, and Jesse with an IE. Thanks, and good night. Sally, Chris A, and Kim D. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Emily, Terry, and Sebulon. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Orion, Warren, and Byron. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Thomas, Corey, and Mary Beth. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Michelle, Wayne, and Cassie, thank you, thanks, and good night. Abby, Janice, and Melanie, thank you, thanks, and good night. David, Luke, and Teresa, thank you, thanks, and good night. Logan, Mary, and Mohan, thank you, thanks, and good night. Cheryl, Peggy, and Kathy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kimmerine, Mawaya and Tabitha, thank you, thanks, and good night. Craig, Ashley, and Jennifer, thank you, thanks, and good night. Carly, Zinzi, and Calvin, thank you, thanks, and good night. Alice of Virginia and Bonnie, thank you, thanks, and good night. Andrea, and Donald, thank you, thanks, and good night. Julie, Matthew, and Angie, thank you, thanks, and good night. David, Eric, and J.V. Hampton, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kurt, Kirsten, and Vic, thank you, thanks, and good night. And Max and Julia, thank you, thanks. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show on Patreon, and good night.
All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs an extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep.
And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.